Ready?
I was born ready.
I can honestly say that's the best news I've heard all day.
Joe Torti Show.
Kind of reminded me of a dark, gothic Neil Diamond.
That's like exactly what I'm going for.
This is the Joe Torti Show.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torti Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative.
Can we just end this already?
Now it's time. The Joe Torti Show.
Joe Torti, Devon Givens, 97.5. The Fanatic Josh Rabick is producing tonight's programming. We've got 2 more hours of radio excellence coming your way. And, of course, we are previewing the Detroit Lions coming to town. And we mentioned only a couple of people that are really concerned, D, about anything that the Lions are bringing to the table. And, you know, to be fair, it's not like the Lions are world beaters, right? But to lump them in, I think, with the true dreck of the league right now, which is to say the Sam Darnold-less Jets, the Miami Dolphins, the New York Giants, I think that you're looking a little bit too far ahead to kind of put them in with that crew. Because here's the thing, I like Los Angeles a little bit. The Chargers came in, they were banged up, and they lost. It was on the road, granted, and home and road counts a whole lot, but it kind of feels as though the Eagles, while being a better team than Detroit, is a little bit banged up. The playing field is much more level at this point. And the closer the game, the worse it is for the Eagles, I think, at this point.
Yes, the closer the game, the worse it is, because we don't know what the identity of them is in a close situation.
Yes.
We have no idea. Last week, we saw them in a close situation where it did work out, but unfortunately, while it may not have been the play to lose them the game, it was the play to lose them the game, right? Because they did not execute the pass from Wentz to Aguilar down the left sideline, and he probably would have walked in, because I believe it was Keanu Neal. And as much as we talk about Keanu Neal being a nice player, he wasn't going to catch Nelson Aguilar in stride with the ball right on his fingertips. He's gone. So,
true.
We don't know. We have no idea. You only hope, Joe, that they, number one, we keep talking about it, and we're not ignoring this. It's important for them to be at home as well.
Oh, yeah, it is. One,
because they don't lose at home. And with them being back here in Philadelphia, the comfort level, knowing what happened last week, two guys in particular, Aguilar and Ertz, wanting to redeem themselves, and maybe even Seumalo. Where
definitely say him all.
Right, where you hope that he feels that you know, that thing in him where he wants to make sure he goes out there and redeems what was left out there on the field. I don't know how they would respond in a close game.
Right.
But
it's like a gut check kind of situation.
Yeah, but then we also go to this. They are champions from 2 years ago.
Oh, yes.
A majority of these people were there. Can you play off of that and use that to your advantage of knowing, hey, we've been here before. We've done this on the bigger stages. Let's just do what we're supposed to do, do our jobs, and let's go home.
I do feel like, though, there's some element of it where by the midway point of the Super Bowl season, it was literally like the Eagles couldn't do anything wrong. It was like that team just knew that they were good enough to steamroll everybody. Now, they ended up looking exactly like that in the game against Washington, right? Where they turned the switch on in the second half and they were just way too much for Washington. In Atlanta, it was a weird game, and I'm not indicting them too much for the Falcons game, because you do have to deal with all of those injuries, all of your plays that you had planned, all of your players that you had planned on playing with are unavailable. So to some degree, you get a little bit of a pass for me, and you still ended up having a pretty decent game offensively, at least. Okay. No excuses in this game. You asked me via text message earlier today when we were trying to, you know, figure out what the show was going to be tonight.
Yeah.
You know, is it a statement game for Carson Wentz? You know, and that question is super important, because it's not just a statement game for him.
Is it? You're saying yes.
In my opinion, it's not just for him. It's a statement game for the Eagles.
Okay.
Because it's a game like this where you determine and dictate whether you are an actual Super Bowl contender or not. And I'm not saying that if you lose to the Lions that you can't win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that. But our idea that we should be puffing out our chests and that the Eagles are one of the best teams in the NFL and stuff like that, doesn't matter who you don't have. You take care of business against a team like Detroit if you're a team that actually has Super Bowl aspirations.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Just like we talk about game number one against Washington. Even though you're down 17-0 to start the game off, Super Bowl aspirations, you come back in that game on that team at home because you're better. You're the better team. You get it done. Same thing with Atlanta, though. Even going to Atlanta, while you may believe, oh, they can lose that game, yes, they can. You can also win that game because you are that good.
Yes.
You are that team. And the reason why we don't panic, Joe, right now, yes, the injuries are there. They're Malik Jackson being the one that's really concerning, being out all year, and the lack of depth that we now know of with the defensive front.
I'm concerned about Deshaun, too.
You're concerned about Deshaun, too? Yeah, because it's not just the groin. It looked like it's the abdomen area that Tim McManus speaks of, and that's the sports hernia conversation that you start to have.
And then
that's like 6 weeks, maybe even seven, eight, whatever. And he obviously you need it to run.
You look great coming back.
We don't know. We don't know.
Zach Ertz looked like garbage coming back from his sports hurt.
Yes, absolutely. So here's the one thing, though. Last year, the Eagles lost to Tampa Bay in week number two. Got destroyed. Fitzpatrick, Jackson, and they just rolled.
Uh-huh.
What happened the week before for Tampa Bay? They were in New Orleans.
Yep.
Facing the Saints, who were in the NFC Championship game.
Yep.
So you can get off the slow starts and figure it out late. The Eagles lost in 2017, as we know, to the Kansas City Chiefs. And we said, what in the world is going on? Right? You got the good win in game number one. You go to Kansas City, and yes, it's going to be a tough game. And Arrowhead, and it's the Chiefs, and it's Andy Reid. They have an explosive offense. This team is pretty good. You lose it, and then you run off nine straight.
Right.
Even the struggling against the Giants in week number three, where you need a 60-yarder from your rookie kicker, nailing it after being freaked out by Jason Peters saying, hey, don't miss it again. And argued some bad calls by the officials, too, because
of course,
Odell Beckham, I thought he scored on the one play, and Sterling Shepard was pretty good in that game also.
Yes, agreed.
They run off nine straight. So, Joe, they have the pedigree. They have the people, the necessary personnel, coaches included.
Yeah, and they have to be included in this.
Yes, to get this thing done. So a defining game for Carson Wentz, yes. That's why he is my choice for the X factor to get this done on Sunday, because he is supposed to be that good. If you are an MVP candidate, you can carry your team from time to time. And this should be one of those games, Joe, where we look back and say, remember when he tore his ACL against the Rams? Yeah, but he scored all those. He left the field with the lead.
Yes.
I want a statement game from Carson without his weapons.
And it
all
is.
Of them.
Yeah, it is a statement
game. I do want a statement game from him. I do. Because that's what you're there for. That's what you're paid to be, the franchise quarterback. You're paid to lead this team to victory. Defense is not great. Your offensive weapons are not all there. Offensive line had struggles last week. Circled the left guard. I need a statement game from my franchise quarterback on Sunday to improve to 2-1 and not lose this game.
Well, you've got to be able to beat the middling teams and decisively do it. I remember in the middle of that 9-game stretch, I was worried about the Broncos game. I was like, that Broncos defense is great, et cetera, et cetera. And the Eagles put 50 on them. You know, like that's kind of the way that you do things once you get rolling. This has to be a get rolling game because this start isn't working for the Eagles. And I know that they've only played one divisional game, so you've got all of that in front of you. And once you make the playoffs, it's about how you finish the season. It's not how you start.
But sure.
It sure would help to get some of that positive momentum coming in.
No, it really would, man. And I'm actually looking forward to this game because I'm not even saying adversity. It's just the intrigue is more there. And we're only in week three, so every game has that importance where we're like, oh, we locked in. It's week number three. The Eagles are this explosive offense. We thought they were going to be trying to improve to 3-0. But no, you have some things up against you right now that you want to see. And I do love that it is home, Joe, and not on the road. And we know that
helps.
It quickly turns into Lambeau Field on Thursday. We have a quick turnaround where we talk about it and dissect it. But I'm intrigued by this game because it's a sneaky opponent.
Yes.
But to your point, you are the better team, and you can't let one of these things slip away when it comes to a team like the Lions or like the...
Like Atlanta.
Like Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And teams like that. Even Chicago, as good as their defense is, the offense sucks.
Not a good team.
Because Trubisky is not that good. You can't let those type of games slip away. It's an intriguing game because of all the things that are involved, from the coaching to the personnel to the importance of the people who are missing, and what can be said about a statement for your franchise quarterback and a statement of the bounce back of certain players like, say, Malu, Aguilar, Ertz.
Yes.
What is Darren Sproles going to be? You know, that type of thing.
Starting running back, probably.
Right. Does Jordan Howard give you an 80-yard game with two touchdowns on 16 carries?
Right. That would help.
That would be fantastic. That would be fantastic. So there's just so many things that goes into this. Does a defensive end get a sack? Does Fletcher Cox come out there and dominate so much on the defensive end that he helps out? Do the corners do a good job? Does Sidney Jones flash against Kenny Golladay? Does he get burnt?
Does he get traded?
Does he get traded
now and then?
Yes, all of these things. There's so much to it. You cannot lose to this team. You're absolutely right. And Joe, looks like the boys have lost.
Yeah, speaking of can't lose to this team, you can't lose to that team. That team's pretty good, but the Phillies lose to everybody now.
Uh-huh.
Not good. Five to two.
5-2.
To Cleveland.
Braves win. They clinched the division.
Saw the champagne and everything, yes.
All right. So, as we talked about earlier, before we get to the phones, we have a lot of people waiting. The Phillies are now, after this loss, 78-74.
78-74.
Correct. Fourth in the NL East. So let's just run this back.
Okay.
Let's run this back. When we talked about this, and I said, if they finish fourth behind the Mets and under 500, there's no way in the world he keeps his job.
Still feel that way?
Yes, I still feel that way. Because the owner and Middleton is probably going to be ticked off.
You think?
Probably going to be ticked off.
Spend all that money for a fourth place finish in the division, you're under 500?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I'm telling you, Kapler's not my fall guy.
And I know he's not.
He's not my... But
they jumped the gun and giving the three-year deals.
Yeah, that's just money. I don't care
all
about
right,
that.
All right, so do you think he would gut them?
Yeah. Yeah, if he guts them,
he's going to, because he's part of them.
Who's that? John Middleton?
Kapler.
Yeah. Oh,
because
yeah,
the new general manager is not going to want. They want to want their own manager. We know there's a whole bunch of Joe Madden stuff because he might not return to the Cubs and all that.
That would
be interesting. But that being said, if they finish under 500, if they stay in the fourth place in the National League East.
Changes.
Some people are gone.
Yeah, I think so. Now, here's what could happen.
Uh-huh.
You see the president and the general manager get fired, and Gabe stays, and you let the new guys figure it out, because you know that they're not going to keep him, but you say, all right, here's our in-house option that we have right now. You can talk to him and evaluate whether he's your guy, and if not, you can go on and hire Mike Socia
or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So... that's the way that would go. But yeah, either way, not great. Really, really not a good game for the Phillies. Not a good season for the Phillies. Not really a good showing for them after spending all that money in free agency.
If he does lose his job. I mean, you don't wish that on anyone.
Of course not.
We're just talking about, well, hey, this is what it is, right? The names that you just mentioned, Madden, Socia.
Yep.
Which one would you prefer? And you even mentioned Dusty Baker in the past.
I have. Yeah, I have mentioned Dusty Baker.
Who would you, if you had to choose, who would you lean more towards?
Joe Madden. I mean,
probably agree with that.
Madden's got the championship experience. He seems to handle big-time personalities well.
Although Socia had, you know, some great runs with the Angels.
That's the truth.
Some deep runs.
Yes, that is the truth. I think with Madden, one of the things that separates and makes him a more realistic option is that, and not to say the Socia is unrealistic, because obviously the local tie counts for a lot of people. But
absolutely.
The fact that he is also kind of an outside-the-box thinker, but not quite as outside as Gabe Kapler.
Like analytics-driven, I mean? That's all I see.
Right, yeah, exactly. It's another step binder. Back towards the middle. Look at my binder.
Look at my binder, all numbers. Give me the iPad.
Make decisions based on the iPad, right. What the computer tells me to do.
Right, not it's the like, computer in my head that I've learned the game of baseball for all of these years.
Yeah, it's like Hal in 2001, A Space Odyssey. Like, you know, Hal's actually in charge. You know, the robot actually is making all the calls.
All of the calls.
Let's go to Jason in Voorhees next on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Jason.
How you doing?
Jay, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm pretty good. Eagerly awaiting week 3, as we all are.
Yep, I'm looking forward to it, see what's going on. Yep.
Absolutely. I am not an Eagles fan, but as I see it, The Lions are not a better team than the Eagles on paper. I mean, I hear what you're saying. This game, technically, I got two things. Technically, this doesn't have to be a statement game. Technically, it could be a game where the Eagles are trailing again, but they still beat them and manage it. And as they're struggling and still winning, that could all change as they start to gain and pick it up. And as the season progresses, then you'll start to see them beat teams, maybe blow them out, and even have the lead even from the big jump. So I don't think this is really a statement game because the Lions really aren't. Here's the thing. If fans know that the Eagles are just – if they know that what they're capable of how great they can be by expectation-wise, it doesn't really – there doesn't need to be a statement at all. You just know how good they are. And my other thing is the kid Hockenson is a monster.
Yeah.
And that's a guy that I think can really kill the Eagles secondary.
Now, who's gonna check him? Is it going to be them bringing up Malcolm Jenkins into the box and trying to take him out of the game? Or are they going to go with their linebackers in some sort of situation where they try to cover him with them?
You know what? It comes down to how good is Kerryon Johnson. Because
yeah.
I think he's solid. I don't know that he's going to be an elite back. So it just depends on how the run game does, of course. So I think regardless, they're going to mix it up a lot. But that kid Hockenson is somebody. I think that's going to be Stafford's target through the entire season.
Well, listen, man, he was drafted 8th overall. So
correct.
That's talent.
Thanks, man.
That's talent right there.
Yeah,
tight end, Joe. Tight end.
And that is the in vogue position that you're seeing a lot of big time playmakers getting involved in, right? Like you're seeing a lot of guys who are coming in, whether it's Njoku just broke his wrist, Eric Ebron.
My fantasy team, by the way.
Yeah, that wrecked it. Sorry, man.
Yeah.
You're seeing a lot of guys at the tight end position who've turned into more playmakers than blockers.
Sure.
Hockenson looks like the real deal. Stafford and he have a clear connection already, and that's something that the Eagles are definitely going to have to be aware of. I don't think that you really want to have to dedicate Malcolm Jenkins to him the entire game, but that seems to be the way that it's going, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the way that you would anticipate
it. That's what it's been, right?
Yeah.
That's what it's been.
It's a bummer because that stops him from being really a playmaker for you. We talked about how much trouble they've had generating turnovers. Malcolm Jenkins has been a guy who can force fumbles, who can intercept the ball and stuff like that. Can't really do it if he's just married to whoever the tight end happens to be.
That being said, Roddy McLeod has looked pretty good in his return from his injury.
I agree.
So hopefully he does what he does and Dejo plays well enough, you would hope, on the back end as a replacement for Jenkins as he's more up in the box. And by the way, Joe, baseball-wise, the Mets, I just lost it. They were up 8-1. Is it a final now? Yes, they beat the Cincinnati Reds 8-1. So it looks like they are a full game ahead of the Phillies at 79-73. Phillies 78-74. And we know they have 2 more with Cleveland, 5 with Washington, at 83-68, by the way, and the 3 with Miami, who was behind the Phillies, but the Phillies, that's their kryptonite this season. So wild card wise, the Nationals are still at the top. They're going to need every one of those 5 games against the Phillies, who are now 4.5 back from a wild card spot.
So in theory, you could win that series and make the wild card if you sweep it.
You can change some things.
Or every time I think I'm out.
Or if you lose it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, so the sad part is going to be once they lose the series to the Nationals, because I anticipate that that's what happens, playing out the string against the Marlins and getting like 10-2'd by Miami. Like, that's what's going to suck. Like, yeah, like watching that, be like, really? This is what we're doing right now?
That's the final series at home. So
the eye test is going to matter for decision making. That's the last thing that you see from the Phillies.
Oh, yeah. Cleveland, they are the second wild card in the American League. Oakland is number one.
Yes.
They only have half a game up on Tampa. Cleveland is. So they need every one of their games.
Wow.
Do the... Tampa is tied right now with Boston 4-4 in the bottom of the ninth. Oh, that looked like it just went final. Let me just update that one really quickly. And now I lost it. But go ahead.
Man, I was counting on
it
you.
It wasn't my fault. They jumped.
It's
still bottom of the ninth. I'm sorry. 4-4. Still bottom of the ninth. 4-4.
Okay. All right.
So my point is, Tampa's a half a game behind Cleveland. Cleveland needs these two games against the Phillies.
That is the truth. So they're not going to be taking it easy. And that's a good team that you're playing ahead of two divisional series to mercifully wrap this thing up.
Five against the Nationals. Five.
That's what it's going to come down to.
In
five
Washington.
Games against the Nationals.
In Washington.
Bryce Harper games.
Ooh. JT Realmuto sits tonight.
Just rest, they say.
Oh, you got a problem with that?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
6-1. Let's keep it moving.
6-3-2-0-9-7-5.
Got a problem?
Yeah. You don't rest. You don't rest anymore when he's been your best player.
Friends. Resting.
Well, the other thing is, and I know that we got to get to the callers as well. The problem with the rest is that you go from taking your best player out and your worst possible player in. You know,
you're not a fan.
Well,
Napper.
Look. It's nothing personal. Somebody's got to be the worst. It's just him. Like, he happens to be the one at this point.
I like that breakdown.
Yeah.
Somebody has to be the worst.
It's not that I hate you.
Might as well be him.
Someone's got to be the worst.
Someone.
We're going to get to more of your phone calls next. Chris, Joe, sit tight. It's Devon Givens and Joe Torti, 610-632-0975. We'll be right back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back to Von Givens, Joe Torti, 97.5, The Fanatic, hanging out together until midnight with you and Josh Rabick, who's producing. 610-632-0975 is your phone number. Is this a statement game for Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles as well?
Oh my. Oh.
Joe in Harleysville leads things off. What's up, Joe?
Good evening, gentlemen.
What's
been
happening?
A while since I've spoken to you.
How you doing?
I've been holding off for the Sixers, but I thought I'd get in on the Carson Wentz thing.
Hold on, time. There's no limit. You can call us anytime. You can hang out. You know, we're not going to stop you from calling in during Sixer season.
Yeah, but you know, the topic is what the topic is. You know,
I gotcha. But,
you know, I watched some of the last two games. I didn't watch all of it because I got things to do. But from what I've seen, and I talked to your producer about it. The inconsistency is what bothers me, and I don't know that he's going to be I wonder if he's going to develop into a clutch quarterback where he's going to pull a win from the jaws of defeat. You know, those last second wins.
Well, because I mean,
I thought he was going to do it against Atlanta.
I mean, I thought he did do it twice against Atlanta. It's not his fault that, you know, Ertz ran the wrong route or that Aguilar dropped the ball, right? You can't really put that on Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
No, but you know what? I think he needs to make these guys accountable. I said to your producer, I've seen Tom Brady pull guys over in the sideline or freak out on them on the field and say, you know, he demands better from them, you know? And Carson isn't like that yet. I hope he gets there.
I've actually seen it, Joe, once, maybe twice, where he's kind of lost it. And, you know, in the game.
He almost lost it on Ortega Whiteside during the Falcons game. Like, he got really, really close to freaking out on them there.
Yeah. I think he just tries to stay composed.
Some of this, I also blame the head coach for not having his players ready. You know, these guys are supposed to be ready to play at a moment's notice. And for some reason, these players, like, what's his name? I can't think of the guy's name who was the receiver who couldn't figure out where to stand, where to line up, you know? And that disappoints me a lot.
Hmm. Well, Joe, I hear the disappointment, man. Thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. The problem is that, yes, you should absolutely have everybody ready to go. You're a professional. You should be ready to go on your own just from pride in your work. But, I mean, let's be honest here. It's close to a doomsday scenario when Goddard's out, Jeffrey's out, DeSean Jackson's out, mm-hmm. same game unexpectedly.
Sure.
Like, I'm not excusing it, but
I'm understanding.
I get why people weren't ready to go. Like, certainly why Mac Hollins wasn't ready to go. You know?
Yeah, I agree with you. Frustrating because you almost had the win.
Right, and if he knows what he's doing. Yeah.
Right, from a guy who you should be able to count on.
Yeah.
And Aguilar. And again, he didn't lose the game, but he lost the game in that sense.
Yes.
There were other plays, there were other situations, but when the game was on the line.
That was a winning play.
That was a winning play, right, absolutely. And I'll bring it up one more time. He's the one who was upset after game number one and not getting the touches, the looks that he thought he should have gotten. Man, he was targeted right there. That was your game.
In a big spot.
That was your game.
I don't stand for, I think that I tend to be pretty fair. I call it like I see it with Carson Wentz. I'm not here for the clutch slander anymore. Like, Wentz does what he's supposed to do just as often as any other quarterback. I'm not saying that he's Captain Comeback. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that he's Brett Favre or Peyton Manning or Tom Brady when it comes to these fourth quarter comebacks. But I watched, just the same as you did, D, him do what he was supposed to do in the fourth quarter. And it's not his fault that Zach Ertz broke it off.
Two times his receivers let him down.
610-632-0975.
Although he almost got those guys killed, too.
Several times.
Yes.
Let's go to Chris. Yes. What's going on, Chris?
Killed.
You know, DeVos.
Not killed. Killed.
You're just literally killed. Like, you know, when I had to watch, you know, penetration come in from the left side of the line because somebody's not doing their job and it's not Jason Peters for a chance, like, it's kind of funny because, you know, the only way Carson succeeds is if he doesn't get hit. Because if he gets hit, it's Tennessee. Like, I'll be honest, when I saw that hit on Sunday against the Falcons, I said, it's Tennessee all over again. Like, my God, this guy takes another hit. He's going to be in a back brace. I don't need this. Like, you know, in a year where, like, you don't have the best, I don't think you have the best running back that you've had in your tenure under Doug Peterson. You needed everything you could get. And right now, like, with Alshon and Deshaun being out, look, I'm going to make this point and see what y'all think. All right, we all knew when this came in, this was somewhat of an extended preseason for them where they didn't play in the regular preseason. They played in the regular season as, you know, them first three, four games as if it was the preseason. So what should I have expected them to possibly have a game where, like, and you know, Joe, I thought I was crazy when I called these guys on the carpet and said maybe they just didn't want to play that night. No, I don't think that's it. But to a degree, I think this quote unquote extended preseason was an excuse for them to say, if we feel this or we feel the slightest pinch of this, maybe we should just relax for tonight like it was a preseason game. Your thoughts, gentlemen.
Relax like it's a preseason game. As much as we talk about it being a preseason game, No.
I mean, it counts just as much as the other. It does. It's just hard for me to follow you there. Does. It's hard for me to get there to the point where it's like every game counts as they're trying to make the playoffs, you know?
Sure, I'll make it perfectly clear. So everybody was ready to be behind. Oh, let's not. And look, I'm one of them. I'm still one of them because of what I've seen in the preseason when I got quarterbacks getting killed and, you know, guys going out with injuries. Like, I understood why we didn't play Carson Wentz. We didn't play our starters. But maybe, see, now this is what I'll say. Why didn't you? Maybe this could have all been avoided if these guys were ready and had seen these looks and had gotten a taste of what they were to expect in the regular season. Is it so crazy now, looking into it 2 weeks into the season, saying maybe these guys should have got out there and gotten more snaps than they got in the real preseason?
Well, this is what we're going to get from years going. You know, this is
thanks, Chris.
This is what we're going to get. So you were right when it comes to the preseason. And, hey, it's going to bleed over into the regular season. It's going to be extension. This is what it's going to be because they're probably going to change. Most teams are probably going to do this anyway.
Yeah, this is going to be the standard.
This is it. So the first four games, it's like, all right, just hang in there. Hang tight. Get it together. We'll see you in the second part of the quarter.
Right. Now, the other part of it is, and it's an important part, that you have to decide what's important to you, right? My health concerns go out the window when the regular season starts. There were people talking about Carson Wentz shouldn't have dived into the end zone.
Both.
Against.
Dive, dove.
Shouldn't have dived against the Rams.
Yes, he should have.
I'm like, bull crap.
Yes,
you're trying to win the game. You absolutely dive into the end zone. What are you talking about?
Without question.
That's why I'm like, as adamant as I am that there's no reason to play Carson Wentz in the preseason because it doesn't get you closer to winning, you can't worry about preserving yourself during the regular season, right? I didn't like it when DeSean Jackson did the alligator arms in the contract year after he got rocked by Dante Robinson.
But you understood.
I understand it. I don't like it. I don't like Jalen Ramsey going out in there and dogging it during the Jacksonville game last night. Like, I don't like any of that. If you're trying to win, you're trying to win. And the regular season's when you're trying to win all the time. There's no such thing as saving yourself for later or anything like that. So that's, you're never going to have it perfect. Either you want guys to play in the preseason, be super sharp when the season starts, and understand that you're running the risk of people being injured.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. That's a valid way to look at things. I don't look at it that way, and it's becoming clear that a lot of NFL teams don't look at it that way.
Yep.
They're willing to sacrifice sloppy play during September in order to make sure that all of your key pieces are exposed to as little risk as possible during the preseason. And this is what we're looking at. This is the result. But I'm not down for anybody holding back and saying, oh, I can't be balling out in September. I've got to worry about being healthy in January. It's like, you are crazy. Mm-hmm. You're a crazy person because you're not going to make it to January.
This is not the NBA.
That's exactly it. Yeah, the same teams don't make it all the time in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You see turnover all the time. In the NBA, you know who's going to make the playoffs today. There are probably four teams in the NBA playoffs that you don't know are going to make it, like the bottom of each conference.
Sure.
And that's it.
And you don't have as long. You don't have the length of games in the season to play around like that. Every game is too important.
Yes.
Every game is too important.
Now, in comparison,
except for when you have a situation like this with the health, when you say, you know what, Goddard, Jeffrey, we'll see you on Thursday.
Right. If the team's going to hold you out, that's something different. But that reasoning is, if you're 70% and you can be 90% by Thursday, that's cool. But if we put you out at 70%, there's a chance that by Thursday you could be 0%. I understand that too. But in terms of, like, for example, the one that I always bring up is Wentz diving into the end zone against the Rams. Oh, you shouldn't have done that. You got to protect yourself. Bull crap.
Oh, yes, he should have.
You got to get in there.
Yes, he should have.
610-632-0975. Eddie, Curtis, Kyle, we're going to get to you guys. So sit tight. It's Devon Givens and Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We were just talking about old school 50 Cent, and I never have felt older in my entire life.
You find me in the club.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, like all of the Avengers in, you know, Avengers Infinity War when... you know, Spider-Man's talking about that really old movie, Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
I'm like, or that's Civil War, I guess, but I'm like, come on, kid.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to be like if we have, like, Nas on or something like that, you know? Our kids are going to be like, yo, Dad, get with it, please.
I already get that.
Do you really?
Yeah, with my girls.
And you're like, respect. Come on now.
Oh, man.
It's a classic.
It's come kind of full circle where... I'll be like, oh, really? You're nodding your head to this?
Oh, really? You like this?
Really?
So,
really?
Before we get back to the phones.
Well, you know who made this, right?
I had that experience. I had that experience with my dad because I was just listening to all kinds of stuff. I was listening to a time period radio shuffle.
Right.
And Queen came on, right?
Yeah.
And I called my dad and I was like, this is what you guys were listening to in college, huh? He was like, yeah. And I was like, man, your college parties were way better than ours. Way better. This is music, man. Because what we listened to up at Fordham, I swear to God, if I heard Piano Man one more time at that bar, I don't know what I was going to do with myself.
Oh, man.
But yeah, man. Times have changed. See, nodding their head. You're like, yeah, just so you know, this is my music.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny, man. It's funny to see.
Amazing.
Because we go back and forth on the stuff that they like right now.
Some of it's good, I'm sure.
Some of it. I'm like, this stuff is corny, right? I'm like, this is. I'm like, they all sound the same. Dad, no, they don't. And I'm like, they do, man. What are you talking about? I have girls, so I call them man and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, man, they do.
I got into that with my sister's friends. I'm like, you know Iggy Azalea is bad, right? You know that's just bad. And they're like, no, what are you talking? I'm like, this is bad
It is
stuff.
Not good.
It's not good.
Not good at all. No. So, yeah, it's funny, man.
Let's go to Eddie in South Philly next on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Eddie?
What's up, gentlemen? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, man? It's
been a while. I haven't called in a while. I used to call you guys all the time.
Yes, sir.
Welcome back.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Listen. The Phillies just don't get it as an organization in the city. I don't know what they just don't get it. Gabe Kapler with his rah-rah attitude. Okay, yesterday you got second and third with Freeman out. Okay, they benched three of their stars. They started three September call-ups. You got Freeman up. Okay, kills the Phillies. All right, Donaldson's sitting, so he's not on deck. Why don't you walk him there and pitch to the September call-up? I don't even know the guy's name. Okay, doesn't do that. Freeman kills him because that's what he does. He's a Philly killer. Okay, then I hear a report that Klentak is in Atlanta doing exit interviews. The season's not over. They're not even out of it. And you're doing exit interviews? Now listen, you and I both know they're not going to make the playoffs. But like, as like a team, the general manager, you can't do exit interviews with 10, 11 games left and you're still in the playoff race.
Right. If you sweep the Nationals, it's a completely different story.
Stupid. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Like, that's just telling me that you're just giving up. Like, you just don't get it. He just doesn't get it. They, as an organization as a whole, they don't get it. And it's so frustrating. And Gabe Kapler needs to go. They need to just clear house.
Well, I've got to admit, Eddie, that we were talking about this a little bit during a break, and thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. That it's not so much the moves that I have a problem with. It's that the culture around the Phillies is not what it should be. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like the expectations and the way that things should be going, regardless of the Bryce Harper deal and regardless of the acquisitions, did they sign the right guys or not? I just don't get the impression that the Phillies connect with Philadelphia anymore, with Gabe Kapler and Matt Klentak and the way that everything's going. I just don't feel like they're ours anymore.
A lot of times the general manager doesn't connect anyway, but he is really, really disconnected himself from the city.
On purpose, I think.
And then it doesn't help when McPhail, in his position, says stuff like, whatever happens, happens. It's not what you do. It's not what you do. And then you have Gabe Kapler, who we've already talked about, is not one of us. Yes, the Stooges.
Oh, man. It's,
the Stooges. I mean, there are three of them.
There are three.
Yes. So you have not connected with the city. You're not one of us. You just are not one of us.
610-632-0975. Let's go to someone who's definitely one of us. Kyle in Norristown's next on the Fanat. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, gentlemen. First time caller, newer listener.
Welcome.
Listen to you guys every single night on the way home from work, and I appreciate you guys' enthusiasm, support, talk, and everything.
Thank you. That means the world.
Thank you guys first.
Thank you.
I got two questions for you guys. I'd like just some secondary input on. One is, do you think Doug Peterson is making us a one-dimensional team by lining up in the shotgun and 80% of his snaps and not having any threat of power football and letting our offensive line be grown men and push people around?
I do think that there is a direct correlation, Kyle, between teams that run a fullback and teams that win a lot of football games. Like, I can't help it. I've noticed that a lot.
Fullback.
But I do know that most teams now are just running all of their stuff out of shotgun.
Everyone.
And I get the idea behind it. You want to be high power, get chunk plays, and to be honest, it reminds me too much of the Phillies with their gotta-hit home runs, don't worry about small ball. Same kind of concept in football. Sometimes, every once in a while, you got to line up under center. You got to let your grown men of offensive linemen just push people back and develop a statement. Then you can take those shots and go into the shotgun and explore those. But I feel like he's just gotten so far away from lining up in any type of single back, I formation, split back. I think I maybe have seen 15 plays in two games out of those types of formations. The other 90% of the time, it's good shotgun. I just don't get how you don't give any of your running backs any momentum going into those games.
And the crazy part of that, too, Kyle, is as you explain it, and you see it when you first line up, first snap, first possession of the game, and they're already in shotgun. And,
yeah.
And it's amazing. But it's almost like, remember this, too, even if you were under center, where we would watch the quarterback, oh, let's run a play action. You haven't even ran the ball yet. This is your first play. So it's basically the new thing like that where you're running, and you do play action now, out of shotgun on the first possession throwing the ball when you have not run the ball yet. So it's the NFL, Kyle. It is what they're going to do because, as you said, they want these chunk plays. They want to put up a lot of points. That's what the game has turned into.
So to my second point, to kind of go hand in hand off of that, I feel like a lot of, I was looking up at the schedules the past couple of seasons from 27 to 18 to now, and last year started very, very eerily similar to the way this year is starting. We obviously got a big win first. We took that lump in the second week, against the Tampa Bay Bucks. And then went on a rough run against Tampa, against Carolina, against a couple of those teams where we just weren't playing together. We weren't playing Eagles football the way we did in 2017.
Right.
17, we won the first game, lost the second game, unfortunately, and then went on that crazy run and then just kept playing out of our minds. But I feel like Doug had that success in that one season, and now he's just hoping that that same success keeps going rather than some sort of change. I just really want to see them handle the clock, run the ball. In that 2017 season, we had a very, very good running core. We ran the ball. We didn't have the best names, but we ran the ball effectively. We controlled the clock. We controlled time of possession, and we put the game in Carson's hands to win. Versus now he's trying to come back in the first game of the season. He had to come back in the second half. Last game had to come back again.
Yep.
And he did everything he could to do it. Nelson dropped the ball and Zach didn't ran the right 10 yards. But it's just, I really wish Doug would get back into some sort of power and go back to the trenches, which is what our team's been built off of and where all of our money's loaded at.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, man. And thanks for the phone call. Sorry, we're up against it here, brother. But that is truly, like, the variance in play call doesn't really exist as much, because it seems like anytime the Eagles are doing any kind of single back or under center stuff, everybody knows, like, all right, they're up to something. You know what I mean? Like, something unusual or something different is going to happen. And more often than not, you see him in the shotgun anyway. Yes. So that's the way that it goes.
Not often do you see him on the center. And even when you do see him on the center, you know a run is coming.
Yeah, something else is up. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, from time to time, you might get a play action there as well.
610-632-0975. Curtis is going to lead us off, and then it can be you. We have an extended commercial-free segment coming your way next. So get on the phone lines right now as we preview the Lions game. Who's your X Factor? And is this a statement game for Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles? Devon Givens and Joe Torti right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.